听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 2, Smacking or Reasoning. Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrases will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Pick up. 2. Rebel. 3. Smack. 4. Reason. 5. Spank. 6. Adopt. 7. Adolescent. 8. Soap opera. 9. Lenient. 10. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
B. You are going to hear a short passage on the rules for children. Supply the missing words.
When parents make a lot of rules about their children's behavior, they make trouble for themselves. I used to spend half my time making sure my rules were obeyed, and the other half answering questions like, Jack can get up whenever he likes, so why can't I? Or, why can't I play with Angela? Jack's mum doesn't mind who he plays with. Or, Jack can drink anything he likes, why can't I drink wine too? Jack's mum, I decided, was a wise woman. I started saying things like, Of course, dear, you can drink as much wine as you like, and, No, I don't mind how late you get up, and, Yes, dear, you can play with Angela as often as you like. The results have been marvellous. They don't want to get up late anymore. They've decided they don't like wine, and most important, they've stopped playing with Angela. I've now realised, as Jack's mum realised a long time ago, that they only wanted to do all these nasty things because they weren't allowed to.
Part 2. Radio Phone-In. A. In this section, you are going to hear a telephone conversation on a radio program called Phone-In. 1. First, listen to some names. Tessa Colbeck, Maurice Rex, Rosemary, Christine, Brighton, Manchester, Norfolk. 2. Now listen to the conversation. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, answer the following questions.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our midweek phone-in. In today's program, we're going to concentrate on personal problems. And here with me in the studio, I've got Tessa Colbeck, who writes the agony column in Flash magazine, and Dr. Maurice Rex, student medical advisor at the University of Norfolk. The number to ring with your problem is 01. If you're outside London, 222-2122. And we have our first caller on the line, and it's Rosemary, I think, calling from Manchester. Hello, Rosemary.
Hello.
How can we help you, Rosemary?
Well, it's my dad. He won't let me stay out after 10 o'clock at night, and all my friends can stay out much longer than that. I always have to go home first. It's really embarrassing.
Hello, Rosemary. Love. Rosemary, how old are you, dear?
I'm 15 in 2 months' time.
And where do you go at night, when you go out?
Just to my friend's house, usually. But everyone else can stay there much later than me. I have to leave at about 9:45.
And does this friend of yours, does she live near you?
It takes about 10 minutes to walk from her house to ours.
I see. You live in Brighton, wasn't it? Well, Brighton's...
No, Manchester. I live in Manchester.
Oh, I'm sorry, love. I'm getting mixed up. Yes. Well, Manchester's quite a rough city, isn't it? I mean, your dad...
No, not really. Not where we live, it isn't. I don't live in the city center or anything like that. And Christine's house is in a very quiet part.
Christine? That's your friend, is it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know my dad gets worried, but it's perfectly safe.
Rosemary, have you talked about this with your dad?
No. He just shouts, and then he says he won't let me go out at all if I can't come home on time.
Why don't you just try to sit down quietly with your dad, sometime when he's relaxed, and just have a quiet chat about it? He'll probably explain why he worries about you. It isn't always safe for young girls to go out at night.
Yes, and maybe you could persuade him to come and pick you up from Christine's house once or twice.
Yes, I don't think he'll agree to that, but I'll talk to him about it. Thanks.
B. Now try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the telephone conversation. Do the multiple choice.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our midweek phone-in. In today's program, we're going to concentrate on personal problems. And here with me in the studio, I've got Tessa Kolbeck, who writes the agony column in Flash magazine, and Dr. Maurice Rex, student medical advisor at the University of Norfolk. The number to ring with your problem is 01, if you're outside London, 222-2122. And we have our first caller on the line, and it's Rosemary, I think, calling from Manchester. Hello, Rosemary.
Hello.
How can we help you, Rosemary?
Well, it's my dad. He won't let me stay out after 10 o'clock at night, and all my friends can stay out much longer than that. I always have to go home first. It's really embarrassing.
Hello, Rosemary, love. Rosemary, how old are you, dear?
I'm 15 in 2 months' time.
And where do you go at night when you go out?
Just to my friend's house, usually. But everyone else can stay there much later than me. I have to leave about 9:45.
And does this friend of yours, does she live near you?
It takes about 10 minutes to walk from her house to ours.
I see. You live in Brighton, wasn't it? Well, I mean Brighton...
No, Manchester. I live in Manchester.
Oh, I'm sorry, love. I'm getting mixed up. Yes, well, Manchester's quite a rough city, isn't it? I mean, your dad is...
No, not really. And not where we live it isn't. I don't live in the city centre or anything like that. And Christine's house is in a very quiet part.
Christine, that's your friend, is it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know my dad gets worried, but it's perfectly safe.
Rosemary, have you talked about this with your dad?
No, he just shouts and then he says he won't let me go out at all if I can't come home on time.
Why don't you just try to sit down quietly with your dad, sometime when he's relaxed, and just have a quiet chat about it? He'll probably explain why he worries about you. It isn't always safe for young girls to go out at night.
Yes, and maybe you could persuade him to come and pick you up from Christine's house once or twice.
Yes, I don't think he'll agree to that, but I'll talk to him about it. Thanks.
Part 3. Family Discipline. A. You are going to hear some people talking about their attitudes towards the punishment of children. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, decide whether the speaker in each passage is a parent or a kid. Write P for a parent and K for a kid.
Discipline needs to be there in a certain amount, but too much of it can be a bad thing, I think. And I certainly do get too much of it occasionally.
I think talking to them, trying to explain why you're upset, what it is they have done wrong, is better than hitting them. Because if you hit them, they learn to hit other things, other people, you. And I don't think that as a solution to anything.
My experience as a mother now is you can talk with the child very much, and the child is going to understand much more than you believe. even if it is a 1 year old or 2 years old child. And I think it's a very bad thing, punishing children, because it remains being an awfully dark experience. And so it was for me too, because when I'm thinking about my parents, I can't help thinking about these days where they punished me.
I wouldn't be as strict as my dad was, definitely not, because I don't think that works. That only makes you rebel.
Well, there's smacking and smacking. I don't at all agree with beating a child, but I do think sometimes a quick, short smack on the hand or arm is better than a long, drawn-out moan. It's quick and the child understands it.
I can't really defend it when I hit my child. I don't do it often, but something about it makes me think that it's not a terrible thing to do. I mean, what are the alternatives? You can shout at your child, you can try to sit down and reason with your child, which is incredibly difficult if you're trying to talk to a two-year-old, or what else can you? You can send them out of the room, you can send them up to their room, you can not let them have any pudding for their dinner or something, but I mean, to me, a little spank, to me, it's quick, it's honest, it's physical. But having said all that, I still try not to do it.
B. Listen to the monologues again. Look at the following chart. For the first two columns, tick one suitable attitude for each speaker. For the last column, fill in the missing information according to what you hear on the tape. You can refer to the above notes as well. Part 4. More about the topic, adoption. You are going to hear a discussion about adopting children. Supply the missing words while listening.
Many of the disadvantages, or many of the troubles that occur with adopted children, do of course also occur in the cases of children born to their parents. But there are some, for example, grandparents, say, who refuse to accept an adopted grandchild as their own. Or school children, like adults, are often cruel, and who find out that a child is adopted and perhaps tease or rag the child. Those particular difficulties, of course, don't arise in the case of children born to their parents. So I think there are a few difficulties that arise that stem directly from adoption. But those parents who have great difficulties, I think, often forget that many, many, what I call biological children born to their parents, produce the same difficulties. So that one has to be careful in saying this is due to adoption.
You put a great stress on the need to tell the child as early as possible that he or she is adopted.
Yes.
Why is this so important?
I think it's terribly important because the child is bound to hear it sometime or other. I have met some very sad cases where the parents hadn't told the child that he or she was adopted, and then some well-meaning, perhaps not so well-meaning, person told the child or adolescent. It was a great shock to the child. In some cases, the child literally packed a suitcase and left. I know of several cases of teenagers who did that. And even if they don't react quite so violently, they begin to think, well, can they trust their parents on any topic if on such a vital topic they deceive them? Also, if you don't tell your child that he or she is adopted, it suggests that there is something faintly shameful about it. And of course, this is not the case, and it should be not felt or thought to be the case, either by the parents or the children. And if the parents or anyone closely associated with the child feels it, they're not very suitable, in my opinion, to be adoptive parents.
Part 5. Memory test. Freedom or discipline? A. In the following short passage, you are going to hear some complaints poured out by Luisa's mother about watching TV. After that, some questions will be asked. Listen and write down brief answers as quickly as possible according to the notes you have taken while listening.
And she doesn't let me watch that much TV after school, which is really annoying because most of my friends watch Home and Away and Neighbours, but I only get to watch one of them. I think that's really unfair, so sometimes I just watch both anyway.
First and foremost, Louisa watches a fair amount of television, whether she thinks she's deprived or not. She must watch at least 45 minutes per day. And when I'm not around, you know, I know the child sneaks in a fair amount more than that. So she gets in a fair amount of television, certainly on the weekends. But I am of the opinion that television, very, very, very few programs will teach them anything. And I think when a child is under your care for 18 years, it's the parent's responsibility to make sure the input is of value. And I don't think television, much television, is of any value at all. I think reading a book and doing her piano lessons are far more valuable than watching crummy American soap operas.
Questions for memory test. 1. How many TV plays are mentioned? 2. For how long a time does Louisa watch TV per day? 3. Does Louisa try to get more time to watch TV? 4. Which activities does Louisa's mother think are far more valuable?
B. You are going to hear a monologue in which a boy complains about his parents. After that, some statements will be read to you. Decide whether they are true or false. Put T or F in the brackets. While you listen, don't forget to write down some key words in the notes column.
My parents gave me a lot of free time. After dinner, during the week, when I was, say, even 15 years old, they would let me go out until 10 o'clock. They would never ask where I went. I would smoke cigarettes and drink beer. At 15 years old, I would hang out in the local pubs. And these were type of things that I don't think were too good for me at that time. I think my parents should have, you know, maybe at least maybe showed an interest as to where I was going. They never even asked where I was going, and they gave me a lot of free time, and I think they felt that this was a thing that was being a good parent. But I think teenagers are very naive, and I was, as a teenager, very naive, and I think I could have used a little more direction from them. These days, a lot of parents think they should be lenient with their children. They should let them grow and experience on their own, and I think that's what my parents were doing. I think there's a biblical saying, spare the rod, spoil the child. And I think that really applies. And I think you need to direct, especially young people. They can be thrown into such a harsh world, especially if you live in a city. I lived in a very small village, and it was still a rough crowd that I found in that village. And my parents never asked questions, and if they only knew, they would be shocked.
Statements. 1. When the boy was 15 years old, he could stay out until 10 o'clock. 2. At the age of 15, the boy was not allowed to smoke cigarettes or drink beer. 3. The boy thought his parents were very good because they gave him a lot of free time. 4. The boy lived in a very crowded city.